Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is the 12th hour apostolic set of turn congregation. Now it's not the 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is the 26th day of May 25, or it is the first day of Sivan, 2029. This is the new moon Sabbath. We're going to start it with a reading of Psalms chapter 81, the whole chapter. The name of our sermon today will be...
Now, wait a minute.
Okay, once again, the name of our sermon is A Final World Government. And we're on Count of Readings, Volume 2, Number 18, and we're on page 20. And we're going to continue on, but we're going to take a prayer taken from Psalm 81. It says, sing aloud unto the Yahweh, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the peasant harp, with the psaltery. Go up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and the law of the Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee, I answered thee, in the secret place of the thunder, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange Yahweh be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange Yahweh. I am the Yahweh thy Yahweh, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own harsh lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued your enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. For the haters of the Yahweh should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured, that their time should have endured forever. For he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock shall I have satisfied thee. Psalms chapter 82. For the Yahweh standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, for they walk on in the darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Yahweh, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Let's do that last verse again. Arise, O Yahshua, son of Yahweh. Judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. That's a good admonition there. Yahshua, the Father's asked him to arise and judge the earth so that he can inherit all nations. Okay, this brings into the prayer thought. We're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to go into our study. Okay, we're going to go on into now, continue with the final world government. We're on page 20 of Teutonic Readings number 18. And we're on our last paragraph. We'll do just a little review from our last, end of our last study. Revelation 17, 14, and 18. Let's read the paragraph above it. The fact that nearly all the crown kings of the world have already been dethroned is the proof in itself that the period number 2 as the period of the leopard-like beast, the one that's crowned with the horns, is about to pass away, and that period number 3 as the period of the scarlet-colored beast with the crownless horns is about to be ushered in. In the order for the making of the transition, the present distress of the nations is therefore inevitable. Revelation 17:14-18. For these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is a sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, for the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the peoples and the multitudes and nations and tongues, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with the fire. For Yahweh hath put it in their hearts for the fulfilling of his will and for the agreeing and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right, that's our review. Let's continue now on page 20. Again, the fact that the 10 horns of the kings have the one mind, unlike the 12 kings of the Daniel 2:42-3, but have no kingdom of their own, besides the fact that the woman rules the beast, and also the fact that the communist leaders, the crown kings of the nation, and they have the one work together for the one common cause, for all these facts show that though the communism appears to be the next power to rule the world, this symbolical prophecy points out that the world will next be ruled by an international religious system, by the Babylon the Great, a rival of the religion of the Asura and a counterfeit of the woman in the Revelation chapter 12. For the scarlet colored beast, therefore, is as a symbol of the world government into which the United Nations will finally evolve. Since those who have no part in the first resurrection, all of the unrepentant sinners from the beginning of the world until the millennium are to be resurrected after the 1,000 years, they will then positively discover that their names were not written in the book of the life. No, not one of them, even from the foundation of the world, for the truth that stands out clearly, that then only will they behold the beast in its three phases. They was and is, not and yet is. That is, he was before the millennium and is not during the millennium and yet is after the millennium. He is not during the 1,000 years because at the commencement of the 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of the fire, Revelation 19 says the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire before the 1,000 years. Right, that would go along with at the commencement of the 1,000 years, that's before the millennium, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of the fire. Then the remnant, all the rest of the wicked remnant who came not out of Babylon's domain are slain with the sword of the King of the Kings, the Sovereign of Sovereigns, Revelation 19:21-16. For the summarizing of having lived before the millennium and also after the millennium and being dead during the millennium, the beast is seen in the three phases, in the three periods. The premillennial, in which he was, the millennial, in which he is not, and postmillennial, that's meaning after the millennium, in which he is. For he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, out of the pit in which Satan himself is to be bound for 1,000 years, and then go into perdition. Revelation 17:8. That is, he will shortly be put to his second death, from which there is no resurrection. He is the eighth and is of the seven. That is, there are four beasts in the Daniel 7. 2 in the Revelation 13, and 1 in the chapter 17. 7 beasts in all, but the 7th list twice, and after this, and thus after his resurrection, he is the 8th, but is of the 7th. Then he goes into the perdition, to suffer the second death. For the statement, and there are 7 kings, shows that these kings are not in the symbolism. That is, they are not the horn, nor are they of the heads. All the horns and the heads are present on the beast, whereas the 7 chains are not there, symbolized by the 5 that are falling, and 1 is, and the other is yet to come. We must fully realize that the Yahweh, through this symbolism, summarizes the history of the entire world. For the beast, as I said before, is symbolical not only of the premillennial world, but also of the postmillennial wicked world. For the 7 kings of the kingdom, from the foundation of the world before the flood, number 1, the ancient world before the flood, number 2, the ancient Babylonian Empire, number 3, the Medo-Persian Empire, number 4, the Grecian Empire, number 5, the Roman Empire, these are fallen, number 6. One that is the world under which the present distress of the nation is to give birth, the premillennial, and of which the beast itself in his first phase is the symbol. And number 7, the one that is to come, is the world after the 1,000 years of which the beast itself and its third phase is also a symbol. Thus, along with this symbolism, the world of sin is represented from its beginning until its very end. For this beast, therefore, is a symbolical summary of the whole world. For the one hour is obviously the time from the 11th hour from the end of the 11th hour and through and at the end of the 12th hour. So we're in the 12th hour now. It's going to be a while before we come to the end of it. Allegorical hours set forth in the Matthew 20 verse 6. So the 12th parabolic hour is your allegorical hour. No, just 1 hour. Number 10 is this, in this instance, as elsewhere in the Bible, carries the meaning of the universality. For the 10 kings have no kingdom while the woman drives the beast. But jointly with the beast, they will have power as the kings. For the phrase is yet implies that after the 1 hour, they will receive their kingdom. Revelation 17:14. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Sovereign of Sovereigns and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen. For these kings or to be anti-religious. And therefore anti-Christian, for they shall eventually make war with the Yeshua and with his called, chosen, and faithful one, that the Lamb shall overcome for their kings. This year, for the Lamb shall overcome the kings, the 10 kings of this world. For the woman, as shown before, is with the symbol of a confederated religious system with which the nations are not only in disagreement, but are also her enemies. Consequently, after the symbolical hour is past, they unseat her from the beast, make her desolate, and burn her with the fire. Then it is that they receive their kingdom for a season and time, Daniel 7:12. Daniel 17:17. For Yahweh has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. For the call to come out of the battle, Revelation 4, is really a call unto Yahweh's people for the coming out of her geographic dominion. For the 18th chapter is a continuation of the 17th, and so we shall study it as well. Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. After that, after what things, after the scarlet colored beast comes into the being, and while the woman, Babylon, is sitting upon him, it is then that the earth is to be lightened with the glory of the angel, with the message of the hour. Revelation 18:2-4. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of the devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are washed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sin, and that she receive not of her plagues. For a heavenly voice, with the spirit of the present truth, is heard calling the Yahweh's people out of the Babylon. After the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel, for the Yahweh's people to come out so that they be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her place, they must necessarily be called unto a place where that place is free from the sin, and thus be saved from the Babylon's plagues. Consequently, they go into a purified, sinless church on a land that is not in danger of the plague. Revelation 18:5-7. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Yahweh hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according unto her works, and the cup which she hath filled full to her her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. For she has rewarded the Yahweh's people with the evil, and now she is to be paid back double. She has boasted of the ruling of the world, and has said in her heart that she is not a widow, that Yahweh is her husband, but she finds herself mistaken. Revelation 18:8-13. Therefore shall her place come in the one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with the fire. For strong is the Yahweh who judges her, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, or alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. For the merchandise of the gold and silver and the precious stone and of the pearl and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all the fine wood and all manner of the vessels of the ivory and all manner of the vessels of the most precious wood, and of the brass, and of the iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and the beasts of and the sheep, and the horses, and the chariots, and the slaves, and souls of men. Since she has had everything put into her hands, and her hands put into everything, but now her glory comes unto an end. Revelation 18:14-21. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are this departed, are departed from thee, and all, let's read that again. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all, for the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in the fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in the ships and the sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the city by the reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice, even her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for the Yahweh hath avenged you on her, and a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus will with the violence shall great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. What violence, and what an inglorious, and when the 10 horns take a hold of the Babylon, the headquarters of that pretentious, self-righteous world, wise power, now is our time and opportunity to get ready for the four winds to be let loose and prepare an asylum, a sinless place for the gathering of the people and for the finishing of the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua unto every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. That's in all the world. Revelation 18:22-24. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and of the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all, and they, and no craftsman, at whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For they merchants were the great men of the earth, whereby their sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Well, we see that this system of the government is set up for no other purpose other than for the making of its adherents rich in the name of the religion they practice, which supersedes all other forms of the idolatry. Now this prophecy applies to this time right now. In our hearts, if our hearts are set on the wealth, if our love of the money becomes greater, then our love for the help will set up to this love to help set up the kingdom, then there is no hope. Such shall find themselves magnetically drawn down into the love of Babylon. For we must remember that the love of the money is the root of all evil, that it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus said, in spite of this solemn warning, we see even the most informed in the saints of Yahweh fall victim to such filthy lucre. If we have the dollar when we need it, also are certain from day to day of our clothing, food, and a bed to sleep in, we should feel rich. For we should feel as if we had $1,000,000 in the bank. Yes, if we seek first the kingdom of the Yahweh and His righteousness, and mind the Yahweh's business, being slothful and nothing, and conscientious in everything, then we shall have all these added unto us, Matthew 6:31-33. We have therefore again seen that the final royal government is to be neither communistic nor capitalistic, but ecclesiastical, and more in favor of the capitalism than communism. All right, this in 2 Tommy Green, number 18, and we have now 2 Tommy Green, number 19, to continue our study. All right. Baptism and the Lord our righteousness subject to the church. Okay, so that will be our next study on 2 Tommy Green, number 19, as we finish off our hour of worship. Text of address, December 20th, 1947. Then the Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua, for the remission of the sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. For the ticket to brethren, we see, is repentance. Baptism is therefore the gate to the church, then follows the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now therefore arises the question, of what shall one repent? Broadly speaking, the answer would be, repent from sinning. For this is true, but now how shall we know what sin is? For we of ourselves do not know, because the inspiration that the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our Yahweh, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring a forth and bud, that it may give seed unto the sower, and bread unto the eater, and so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:7-11. For the inspiration, moreover, points out that by the studying of the scriptures, Yahshua himself learned the difference between the right and wrong. Therefore, the Yahshua himself shall give you a child. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Isaiah 7:14-15. These verses certainly forecast the first advent of the Yahshua, but the scriptures also say that the Yahshua, or whatever lawful fruit, was not before him. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. For the Son of the Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Matthew 11:18-19. For the butter and honey, then, must be symbolic. And what can they symbolize? That the word of Yahweh, the source from which I shall learn to choose the good and to refuse the evil, for he has set the example and the inspiration plainly warns that with the bread and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Let's read that last sentence again. He has set the example, and the inspiration plainly is with the warning that of the butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land, Isaiah 7:22. Obviously, those who do not eat of the spiritual butter and honey shall be taken out of the way, shall not be left in the land. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Isaiah 24:6. Yes, even after the sinners are taken out of the land, then the righteous and the Yahweh, those that are left, shall continue to study the inexhaustible word of the Yahweh, plainly then for anyone to conclude that he already knows the Bible, that there is no more for him to learn, is indeed to blaspheme as the scroll unrolls. How does the word define sin? We find the answer in the following scriptures. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested for the taking away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of the Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For whosoever is born of the Yahweh doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of the Yahweh. And this the children of the Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of the Father Yahweh, neither he that loveth not his brother, 1 John 2:4-10. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For whosoever keepeth his word, in him really is the love of the Father perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 3:3-6. We've been talking about Yahshua all the time. Sometimes we use part of talking about the Father, but this is talking really about the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till the heavens and earth pass, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. For whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the Son shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. For I say unto you, that except the righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of the heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Matthew 5:17-21. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, and neither indeed can be. Romans 8:6-7. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh as the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity unto the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? From the body of this death. I thank the Yahweh. I thank the Yahweh through the Yahshua, our Savior, So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh, the law of sin. John 7:19-25. 51-36. From these verses of the scriptures, you see that the law of the Ten Commandments, the eternal law, which always was and always shall be, is the law which defines sin and which judges a man either right or wrong. Now, since all mankind has broken this law, they are all condemned unto the eternal death. But we thank Yahweh that Yahshua died in our stead and arose again, making us free from the condemnation of the law. Yes, his death and resurrection makes us all free from the death which the transgression of the law imposes. Now I'm going to read that paragraph all over again, and I want to put that word blood in there, which is suspiciously missing. From these verses of the scripture, you see that the law of the Ten Commandments is the eternal law that always was and always shall be, is the law which defines sin, which judges a man either right or wrong. Now, since all mankind has broken the law of the Ten Commandments, they are all condemned to the eternal death. And we thank the Yahweh that Yahshua died in our stead, and by his blood he delivered us from our sin and rose again. Yahweh the Father brought him forward through the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's in Hebrews 13:20, making us free from the condemnation of the law of the Ten Commandments. That is, the blood of Yahshua, through his commandments, John 15:10, Yahshua says to his disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Yes, his death and resurrection make us all free from the death which the transgression of the law imposes. Even the law of the blood of the everlasting covenant was used by the Father to raise Yahshua from the dead. So Yahshua couldn't raise from the dead without the blood of the everlasting covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit of the Heavenly Father that ever liveth to make him rule eternally. Takes the blood of the everlasting covenant and of the power of it, and raised up his son from the grave. For the Holy Spirit, the Yahweh, through the Holy Spirit, could not raise up his son unless there's some blood involved there. All who repent of the breaking of the law and accepting him as their Savior arise to walk in the newness of the life. A life that is in the harmony with the law is indeed the righteousness of the Yahshua. For they moreover no longer sin, for their salvation is secured, because, says the Apostle John, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua, the righteous." 1 John 2:1. He therefore cannot sin or stay in sin. He is righteous in the Yahshua. until the Yeshua takes us back to our own land, though, there is to change our hearts and to write on them His law, Ezekiel 36:24-28. Until then, the struggle is in which the Apostle Paul found himself in a struggle for the obeying of the law of the Spirit, while the law of the flesh is against the law of the Spirit. It is to be our lot that we thank Yahweh, who gives us power for the overcoming, to overcome day by day in the Yeshua, our Savior. Though we fall 7 times a day, though we sin unintentionally, if we arise and run the race, we shall win. We cannot lose, because we have an advocate, even Yeshua, the Messiah, as the righteous example. Our assurance of the salvation is therefore guaranteed. Henceforth, once the John the Baptist, we should not be as the scribes and Pharisees, that when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come unto his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of the Baptist, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring ye forth therefore priest meat for the repentance, and think not that I said to say within yourself, we have Abraham unto our father. For I say unto thee that the Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up the children unto Abraham, Matthew 3:7-9. Here you see that those who wish to be baptized must first prove of themselves penitent, worthy. It must be seen that they have renounced their sins and are living in the newness of life. Moreover, they must not think that the Yahweh needs them, that He cannot do without them, but that they need Him, for if need be, He can create people out of the stone. Actually, he was talking about these live stones, that He could take these live stones that have fallen after Yahshua, and He could raise them up. To seek baptism as a way of escape from the hell is nothing less than the repeating of the acts of the Pharisee, for the baptism should be sought as a way for the to become a son of the Yahweh, to become an eternal and immortal being. For the baptism, you see, is a public renouncing of the sin and the certification of the baptism with the gift of the Yeshua's righteousness swings open the gate of the church for the preserving of His prospective candidates for the baptism Yeshua first taught and the things recorded in the Matthew 5:6-7, for the Sermon on the Mount, even after the baptism, we should do well to read these chapters often, lest we forget. After we have received worthily the baptism of the water, we are patiently and confidently to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and of the fire. And out of the fire comes at the Pentecost. This promise we shall now see what the disciples received on the day of the Pentecost, after being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from the Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, by who? You shall have, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Acts 1:5. Then returned they unto the others, and from the mount called Olivet, which is from the others, and a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of the James. These all continued with the one accord in the prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of the usher, and with his brethren. Acts 1:12-14. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of the fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with the other tongue, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:3-4. Ever since that day have men been thus baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Indeed, they could not have been, for never since then has a group of the Christians, a church, come into the one accord. There is nevertheless a promise of another such baptism after the former rain, and the latter rain fall upon the Yahweh's people after his people reach the full spiritual maturity. This being the end of our study, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.